Hanukkah. One of the amazing things that's mentioned, when you pick up the Rumba Mishnah Torah, which is a sefer on halacha, he starts and he gives us the story of Hanukkah. And I believe one of the Rabbanim pointed out it may be the only place where the Rambam gives a short synopsis of the history that created Hanukkah. And I was looking yesterday, the first sif in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch on Hanukkah is a very long paragraph, and it too deals with the story of Hanukkah, right? How the Syrian Greeks took power, how Matisyahu and his family stood up against them, how this was the only time we had a golus while the Jewish people were living in Eretz Yisrael, how they had the terrible rules, no Shabbos, no Rosh Chodesh, no Mila, and they would kill people for doing mitzvahs. How they had the rule that every virgin wife had to first sleep with the general or whomever was in charge of the locale. And it was against this. And the Hellenist Jews, self-hating, assimilated, they didn't have a problem with this for whatever reason.
Accepted.
Right. And Matisyahu and his son stood up. And if you look at the history of Hanukkah, the war was not won when Hanukkah occurred. Hanukkah was a time when they captured the Beis HaMikdash again. They wanted to rededicate the Mizbeach. And they wanted to light the menorah. And everything had been metameh. They built, I think, initially a wooden menorah, and we know the miracle of the lights occurred. And we'll go into more of the Hanukkah background later on. What I want to do is do a quick synopsis of the halachos that are relevant to us on Hanukkah. So we know that the mitzvah of Hanukkah is ish ubeiso, a man and his household, his family. And we're told that it should be in the house you live in. So for example, they said that in the olden times, I guess people might have two places, maybe one place closer to their herds, as opposed to one in the home, and it was the home base that they had to have lighting the Hanukkah candles. Women can light for men. This isn't right. They can be motzias, because we say af othem hayu bosei hanes. They too were included and had benefit from the miracles of Hanukkah. We know that the changes in davening, we add al hanisim, but if we forget it, we don't go back. We say hallel all 8 days, and we learn from the Nisim when in the time of the Mishkan in the desert, they dedicated the Mishkan for the first time. Although Hanukkah is considered a yontiv, there's no special mitzvah of a sudas yontif. We don't have, in other words, if all you do is sit down and have your, a lot of people have pastas and cheese, because that's how one of the mitzvahs with Yehudis, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, was when she cut off the guy's head after giving him milk products. And so you have that, you have your latkes and whatever else, your Hanukkah, you have your chocolate Hanukkah gel. Today you can have Hanukkah cookies. You can buy a $22 donut, I'm told now. It comes with a forklift. But unless at that Suda you say a Dvar Torah, you say a Kapitel Tillim, you say some Shvach for Hoidoyah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't have the status of a Sudas Mitzvah. We're required to light the Hanukkah candle, and we're required, the best time is just after sunset to light the candles. They have to burn for a half an hour at least. That's the halacha. If you have to delay, you can do it as long as people are awake in the house, because Hanukkah has a concept of presume nisa. We want have a greater recognition. We want to publicize to the extent we can the state of the nace.
You do it when people are walking in the street.
Right, people in the street. So we know the original mitzvah, and this is the way it's done, I think, today in Yerushalayim and other places in Eretz Yisrael. Well, people have these menorah holders outside. They light next to the doorpost on the outside, and then they cover it so it doesn't burn, and that's the best way. In Golus, they said, because there were dangers, there were times when people didn't let us, so the Iker Mitzvah became Persume Nisa in the family. So that
for yourself.
For you, yourself, your family. And it's important everyone should be there. We know Hanukkah is a very interesting concept because we have three status of the mitzvah. There's a plain mitzvah, which is lighting one candle every night and no more. There's a second status, which is adding each night a candle to the right, on the right. You start from the right and you add to the left. And you come backwards until you get up to eight. And then the mitzvah min ha-muvchor, the greatest level, are those where every person over bar mitzvah, and in today's day and age, many of the women as well, light their own menorahs. And we space them apart so nobody thinks that we've got 37 candles and one menorah that night. We do that. We know that on the first night we have three brachas to make. Asher kedishon v'tzafon l'hadlik ner, either Chanukah or Shel Chanukah, both nusachos exist. We make the bracha she'asa nisim l'avoseinu, and the first night we make shecheyanu. If for some reason someone was unable to light on the first night, they could make the Shecheyanu on night number two. We're also told that historically there were times when people couldn't light, and if they saw a Hanukkah menorah lit, they could make the bracha she'asa nisim. Thank God in our day we don't have that problem. We know that we need to have either sufficient oil or a candle that from the very beginning has at least a half hour of lighting material, be it oil or be it wax on the candle, sufficient that it lights for a half an hour. We know that on Erev Shabbos, when we light early, right? Because we have to light before Shabbos. We have to make sure that we have enough oil to burn a half an hour after nightfall, right? And I know Rabbi Leierfeld, Lashitaso, holds that nightfall is 13 minutes after sunset. So we usually light candles 18 minutes roughly before sunset, right? So the candle would have to be lit for 18 plus 13 plus 30 over an hour at least, it would seem, right, to be yotzei the mitzvah. If you don't have enough lighting material, don't light, because it's a bracha levatala. If you put your menorah in the proper spot where it would not normally go out, and it goes out, it says hadlaka asa mitzvah, the lighting, since it would have, should have stayed lit for that period of time, you've done the mitzvah appropriately. However, it's a mitzvah to light, you know, relight it. But technically, you don't have to. If you happen to put your candles in a windy place, you're probably not yotzei the mitzvah whatsoever, because what you're doing is you're saying it's going to be inevitable that my candles are going to go out. And
not good.
Right. We know we add a shamus to the menorah because there's a halacha that we're not supposed to get benefit from the Hanukkah candles. They're only for the mitzvah. And so by having a shamus next to it, we say the light we're using is a shamus's. But in many cases, you're going to have, let's say, lights in that room anyway. So it, right? So you're never probably going to use the light of the menorah. Right.
You only need a shabbos to light.
Right, yeah. Shh. What the hell is it? We're told technically when the time comes to light Hanukkah candles, we shouldn't delay, in other words, but I know there's a famous story of a Chafetz Chaim who had someone with him on the night of Hanukkah, and he was waiting, and finally, I guess the fellow with the Chafetz Chaim said, Rebbe, he said, why are you waiting? And he said, the Rebbetzin's not here. And the Rebbetzin gets tremendous hanah from the lights of Hanukkah. So it's a bigger mitzvah for Shalom Bayis to wait than to light it at a time. That's an interesting story.
So apparently she didn't light her own candles.
No, she didn't light her own candles. My grandmother didn't light her own candles either in Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but my daughter has been, you know, since the time she was, you know, little girls, all, you know, little girls do
she
it.
She lights her own candles.
I don't know if she still, I doubt if she does still today, but when she was, you know, she did it for many, many years. I guess once she got married.
So basically it was for chinuch.
For little girls, I think it's chinuch, but I think it's also, they feel, in other words, I think little girls feel good that they can light also. They're, you know, they have this, as we say, little children are born with such an innocent neshama, they gravitate to mitzvot. And if you can give them another one, they're so often so excited to do it. That's one of the beauties of Yiddishkeit.
So I have a granddaughter she saw her father putting on tefillin, and she wanted to put on tefillin just to see what it was like.
No. All right. Yeah. If one is in, let's say, the common situation that happens is, especially with Hanukkah parties, is that we'll go to our kids or someone else, and we'll be there at the time of Hadlakas Neiros. And they'll say, do you want a light? And the answer is no. You can only light in your own house. And you're better to light, not only better, you have to light at home. Now, there are a couple interesting things that occur. Let us say, and this happens Hanukkah quite often, Bachrim come home from yeshivas on Hanukkah. And as things happen, and I've seen this, both with trains and with planes, there's this concept of a delay. They don't know how to be prompt and on time. And so you may reach the stage where someone in your family, a child, cannot be physically present anywhere. You can have kavana and be moitzi them and their yotze. When they are unable, by circumstance, to light, and you light on their behalf, halacha dictates, at least the Rosh Yeshiva who my son had, he said, your yotze in the candles. Because he used to come back from South Bend, Indiana, not Notre Dame. They used to have they had a very nice yeshiva there for a number of years.
Really?
Yeah. He would come back by train to Toronto, and I remember getting the message beforehand. If you don't hear from me by this hour, light on my behalf.
Have me in mind.
Yeah, or have me in mind when you light, in case, I guess. Something like that.
Very good. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You can have a shaliach to light candles for you.
But I think,
basically, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and you don't have to be there, which is interesting. But I'm sure it's only, as they say, b'shas hadchak, when it's
emergency.
Yeah. So when we start to look at some of the background material, and I'm going to the Art Scroll Hanukkah Sefer, that I'm trying to see what year it was written, by Rav Zlotowitz and Rav Sherman, probably in the late 1970s, I'm guessing. And they quote, as the Gemara in Shabbos, we know we have a Maseches Megillah. We have a whole part of the Gemara, and obviously we have Mishnayos on Megillah. What happened to Hanukkah? We don't have a Megillah Hanukkah saying, as we have with us, what are the requirements of a menorah, what type of light, etc., how tall does it have to be, what kind of wicks do we use, etc. We don't have that. And the reason is because we're told that this was a war that the Jews ended up winning against an enemy and in a golus. And I think there was some fear that when the Gemara was being written in the times of Rabbi Akiva, right, Rav Ashi and Ravina, which was probably under Roman rule, they didn't want to write a Gemara about Jewish miracles, because as we know, there were censors for all the Gemara.
You mean during a revolt?
Yeah.
They didn't want to enhance the revolt.
Yeah, they didn't want to. They didn't want to read the red flag in front of the Roman bull.
Right.
So the Gemara says, "My Hanukkah." It starts in Daf 21 of Gemara Shabbos. When the Yavanim, the Syrian Greeks, entered the Beis Hamikdash, they contaminated, they made tomei all the oil that was in the Beis Hamikdash. And when the Hashmonaim grew strong and vanquished them, they searched for oil, because they didn't want to light the first time with tomei oil. And somehow they found a flask which had a seal of a Kohen Gadol. And we're told this was never the practice that a Kohen Gadol put a seal on a Hanukkah. So obviously some Kohen, for whatever reason, whether he had a type of Nevius or whatever, it was done.
Serendipity.
And then it says, when the wicked Greek kingdom rose up and said to Klal Yisroel, forget your Torah. Hello? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his mercy, delivered, as we say in Al-Anisim, the strong into the hands of the weak, the many into the hands of the few, and the impure into the hands of the pure. It says, the miracle of Hanukkah is one of the great miracles in Jewish history. And it's the only miracle singled out by the Rabbanim, because it's right, because Hanukkah is from the Rabbanim, for commemoration along with Purim. However, when this occurred, it says, somehow they weren't sure that whatever spiritual emanations they had accomplished would last. And they knew that secular people could say, oh, Matthias Yoh and his son, they had advanced intelligence. They were smarter. They were better people at wars. But as Jeffrey mentioned, their army was probably only Matthias Yoh and his 12 sons. We know that the assimilated Jewish population often attributes Hanukkah to the military victory, right? That somehow they want to believe there was this great Jewish army. Lo have, lo kach have. And we also know that Hanukkah is the Yom Tov that celebrates the fact that we could keep B'Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. And as many Rabbanim have said over the years, Hanukkah should be a holiday that is only celebrated by Shomrei Torah mitzvah. If you understand that that's what it's about, the Chanukas Habayis, about being able to keep the Mesorah, why the heck would a non-Orthodox Jew keep it? He's going to celebrate that there are still people doing it? No, that's why they had to create this myth of the great military victories and how it became a call for freedom and all this.
So basically, what Hanukkah really is, it's the defeat of Hellenism,
right,
by the Jews in the Torah.
Right.
So the religious Jews that kept the Torah defeated the Hellenist Jews who wanted to walk away from the Torah.
Right.
That's what the miracle is all about.
Right.
That's what the holiday is all about.
Yeah.
Okay, take care of this thing.
The Maral in Chidushei Agadas notes that the Gemara talked about the oil. And when we talk about Al-Anisim, we talk about the victory. And he says, even at the time of the miracle, it was necessary, of the war, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create the miracle of the Neros, the candles, right? Hashem felt it was essential to teach Klal Yisrael that whatever military victory occurred was not from the natural order. It was a nes. And the very fact that the nes of the menorah was so public indicated that this was a turn in history. Right? And as Rabbi Zlotowitz writes, surely the triumph was immense. But was it a miracle? We're talking about the war. Maybe great military tactics and maybe military might caused it. However, when they lit the oil and it burned and it burned and it burned, and for 8 days it burned, right? they realized something min hashamayim had happened. Miracles took place.
So just like the miracle that the one flask burned for 8 days, same way the miracle of the Jews winning the war
right.
was also a miracle.
Right. It should, in other words, in terms of what we call normalcy, it should not have happened. The Gemara talks about the oil, and we do the mitzvah of lighting, making this miracle well known. And we mention in our tefillos the fact that there was a war, and we mention it as well when we go through Moist Sur. We talk about the various vanquishing of enemies by Klal Yisroel. Paro, Nebuchadnezzar, Haman's there, you know.
And this one's there as well.
And the righteous one's there too. Yevanim nikbetsu alai. And then the last one is the Chayad Moin Betzel Tzal Moin. Get the guy with the cross wearing red. So it's either Esav, or it means the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Empire. So these were the things that we had to vanquish. Okay, we're going to look at some more of the, I guess, the hidden meanings and some of the concepts of Hanukkah tomorrow, because where are we at? Yeah.
So where do the donuts come in?
So the donuts, okay, so where do the donuts, okay. Hilchas Donuts, they wrote a late Mishnah called Mishnayas Donuts. No, they didn't. What it is anything in oil, right? So the latke was a traditional food. In Eretz Yisroel, the greatest oil product is sufganiyot. So donuts, because they're made in oil, so there's no mitzvah to eat a... If all you're going to do is take a donut that wasn't fried in oil, you're probably not... You're not yoytze the mitzvah, it would seem.
Not yoytze.
Yeah.